Blog Talk Radio.
From the polluted Animas River, thanks to the EPA, to the EPA's tanks of disgusting water, and broadcasting from a small bamboo-reinforced tiki hut. Kelly here, it's the 20th of August. Can you believe that? Those poor Indians, the Navajo Nation, they're being poisoned again by the EPA. Maybe it's, I don't know, could it be... an experiment, a human experiment like they did in Auschwitz. But these people on the Navajo Nation cannot believe that the same people that poured all of the polluted, contaminated mine water or whatever slurry into their river, the Animas River, then gave them tanks full of water, used tanks, full of chemicals and oil and all that. It's just crazy. I've got a clip here from KOB on KOBE. Check it out. It's going to play, I promise.
Heartbreaking to look at. A grown man in tears because he is not able to water his crops. He's one of hundreds living on the Navajo Nation, still suffering after the Animas River spill. Like so many others, he's hurting. His entire family is hurting as they lose their livelihood because of a lack of water. The EPA, which has claimed responsibility for the spill, delivered 9 huge tanks of water to the Navajo Nation on Friday. They promised fresh, clean drinking water, but as our Devin Neely found out today, that is far from the truth.
Clearly, it's just a lie.
It's water intended for crops and livestock.
EPA consistently told us that these tanks hold only clean water for drinking.
But it's brown. It smells, and the tank it came from is far from clean.
Clearly, it's an oil tank. That's what it is.
Farmers and ranchers on the Navajo Nation were promised safe, clean water. Instead, the EPA gave them 9 tanks of this. Now, Navajo Nation officials are telling farmers to not use the water from the tank, and President Russell Begay is asking the EPA to remove them from the Navajo Nation completely.
They lied to us. That's what it is. Clearly, they lied to us, and it's unacceptable.
Situation critical as acres and acres of Navajo farmland bake in the sun.
Our number one priority now is to deliver water to our crops, to save some.
Joe Binn Jr. is the Farm Board representative for the Shiprock chapter. He says they need immediate relief and calls for help from anyone with water hauling capabilities.
Bring your trucks. Bring little trailers of water, ability to haul water. This is what we ask for. This is the assistance. This is the call out to the people. Never mind the government. They are failing us.
While President Begay calls for the EPA to make this right.
I'm saying that before you do anything on my nation, you run it through us first. And we will double check your figures because now we don't believe you.
Ben just hopes there will be enough water to salvage some of this season's crop.
Let's harvest enough to continue our culture.
In Shiprock, Devin Neely, KOB Eyewitness News 4.
We have reached out to the EPA about these dirty water tanks. We have not heard back yet.
Call the EPA and the phone picks up. It's just a laugh track. But seriously, can you believe that? I mean, it's absolutely surreal. Anyway, anybody who thinks that the government is the answer to our problems, I've got a little waterfront property in Dona Ana County to sell to you. But I think it's, isn't it just time that we start teaching our kids the government's not the answer? I mean, not that you don't need a government, but 523-1450. All right, so that's just one of the most interesting things I've heard recently is you ruin someone's river and then to make up for it, you bring them tanks full of water. The tankers used to be used for oil and you didn't clean them. I know it sounds crazy, but anyway, here's what your buddy Reagan would say.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people.
That was the central idea that won Reagan the presidency, a warning he...
And there's Brian Williams. That is one of the most memorable quotes. Reagan was full of memorable quotes, though, as you recall. If you don't recall, then you should look them up on YouTube. I'm thinking that Hillary Clinton now is in a lot of trouble, and I'm wondering how many people remember back to Bill Clinton, who's had a relatively successful presidency, a few bumps in the road there. But in terms of popular opinion, I think there's a lot of people that are going to be voting in this cycle that don't have any memory of Bill Clinton. So it's just kind of the downside of Hillary Clinton and her very crazy ideas about creating her own server. I probably have 20 stories here saved from Hillary. 805-6180 to call in. It's so crazy that. So anyway, do you trust Hillary Clinton? Well, in some more state news, a pilot died at the Las Cruces International Airport. Why do they call it international? I'm sorry. It's probably because Mexico's using it to land pot. But anyway, a guy by the name of David Tokup piloted a 1951 T-28A. Which he piloted into the ground. Unfortunately, he died. He was 64. He's from El Paso, and he had a passenger who was transported to the hospital in an unknown condition. NMSU, first day of class. Welcome back, kids. RJ Hernandez, who's been on the show, and I was supposed to have him on the show yesterday, and we had a miscommunication, has filed a lawsuit against the county. How many lawsuits are currently going on, I'm wondering? So I know the attorney I know his attorney, Hans Voss, and I'll have him come on the show for you. And I don't know how much exactly we can talk about you, but you heard it. RJ came on here. He was pretty open. You know, he didn't really hold back on anything. The thing I thought was funny is his explanation that Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres would come in. Oh, it didn't come in very often, but when he did, he came in to surf the internet and would sit in a little. He made it sound like a kind of a little lazy boy or something with his I don't know if he had a tablet or what he was surfing with, but anyway, I found that to be pretty funny. I got another story about a brawl with a woman that ended up in her arrest, but we'll get back to that. All right. So this is what I'm going to do. 5-2-3-14-50. At 6:15, I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit. There's a little sports story about Tom Brady I think you might find interesting as we get into the news. But it is, let me get your temperature here for you. And it is right now. All right, I know how to run this phone. I've never had this happen before. All right. All it has is a big check mark. All right, no data. I don't know how that's possible. But I'll come back and tell you. It feels kind of warm, but maybe the air conditioner's out in the studio. All right, so I got a ton of stuff to talk about. I think Ben Rossin's coming in this morning, too. So we'll come back and get into it. But you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. And I've got some overnight texts and stuff, so we'll come back and get into this stuff. But anyway, got some phenomenal news for you. I've got so many Hillary Clinton stories. It just looks like doom. Looks like a big thundercloud over her head. You know, like Schleprock. Remember that character that walked around with it raining on him all the time. Anyway, we'll be right back. 6:17, and Kelly here. We'll be right back. All right, so before I get into this Brady story, got a weird story, a weird little tale a lady flags down a cop who's driving out to another call and said her neighbor was engaged in a drunken brawl. It happened at 5 p.m. Tuesday in Ortega Road. And so the woman flags down the cop and complains that her neighbor, Delia Soto, was straddling her boyfriend and beating the man about the face. So what had originally happened is the lady's 11-year-old son had gone over to Soto's house to borrow two eggs. Miss Soto was supposedly verbally abusive. The kid went home crying, told his mom. His mom went over to the fence and started talking to Soto, "Don't talk to my boy that way." And so then Soto pulls out a knife and ends up fighting with the 58-year-old boyfriend. And she was straddling him, saddling him, whatever, and pounding him, giving him a good pounding in the face. And so when and she was drunk, according to the claims anyway. So the police questioned her and found a knife on her and arrested her. Now she's being held without bond. Huh. It's time for her to call an attorney, in my opinion. But, all right, so Tom Brady. All right, now Tom Brady, they're at an impasse with the talks that are going on right now. But Tom Brady is not opposed to having a suspension, not for deflating balls, but for not cooperating fully with the investigation, which sounds about right to me, because it seems to me that the judge pointed out that there was no gate in deflate gate, that there's really no smoking gun or leaking football, and that they never really proved causation. They just kind of, and it might be 100% true that Brady caused for them to be underinflated, but basically I think the NFL comes off looking bad. Now, don't forget that Roger, whatever his face is, that runs the NFL, he's an attorney, but he may not have any, he might not have ever practiced as an attorney, or even if he did, he might have tried to handle it in a way that was a little bit more, you know, less due process oriented, more just let's get this thing done. And so anyway, so, you know, Brady destroys his phone when he's asked to cooperate, and he says the reason that he destroyed the phone was because he had didn't want people to get, you know, these paparazzi to get his information or whatever. So anyway, I got a little clip here for you from ESPN. If it will cooperate, but it's kind of an interesting story, because I would suspect Brady will end up with a couple game suspension, maybe one game suspension.
That the lawyers for the NFLPA and the National Football League get to make arguments in front of Manhattan Federal Court Judge Richard M. Berman. Moments ago, Jeffrey Kessler, the NFLPA's lead lawyer, arriving here in Manhattan Federal Court in Lower Manhattan, followed by Greg Levy, as well as other attorneys for the National Football League. Adam Schefter is here. And Adam, you've got news. What do you got?
The latest, Sal, is this. Tom Brady is open to some form of settlement involving a suspension, but only under the terms that it was for failing to cooperate with the NFL rather than to admitting to the findings in the Wells report, which the NFL has been insisting all along that Tom Brady accepts what was in that report, which is something that we've discussed before, Tom Brady probably never will do in the course of our lifetimes. But it gives you an idea of some of the settlement discussions that have been ongoing. They occurred yesterday. Tom Brady, Roger Goodell, lawyers, face-to-face for up to 4 hours. But I was told those talks went nowhere, and so they're back in court today where they were 1 week ago, and this will be a verbal argument of the briefs that both sides entered in on Friday. Remember Judge Berman said briefs due Friday? Well, today, Jeffrey Kessler, representing the NFLPA, and Dan Nash, representing the NFL, will expand on those legal briefs in a verbal form in front of Judge Berman today. to try to make their claims as to why they're right in this case.
And Judge Berman told both sides to tone down the rhetoric, but on Friday, the NFLPA's brief was incendiary, to say the least. Let's take a look at the key quote on page 14 of that brief. The Players Association final motion on the July 28th ruling from Roger Goodell says, quote, Goodell's decision is more smear campaign than reasoned decision, a propaganda piece written for public consumption at a time when the NFL believed the transcript would be sealed from public view to validate a multi-million dollar, quote unquote, independent investigation. Adam, this is the equivalent of lobbing a hand grenade into these proceedings when the NFL ratcheted up the rhetoric. And I am surprised that the NFL and the NFLPA would even have any kind of settlement discussions after this very harsh personal attack on the commissioner.
Well, that's pretty hilarious, I think. But anyway, Judge Roger Goodell, I don't know. He's maybe an acquired taste, but it seems like he's made some missteps. Anyway, for those of you who don't give a rat's hind quarter about the NFL, all right, there is, gosh, there's so much on Clinton, my head is swimming. In addition to this thing with emails, although you really can't get past it, there's this website called Ashley Madison that is made for people to have affairs on their spouses or somebody else's spouse. And they've warned the people that put the site together, if we have hacked your site, if you don't take the site down, we're going to release this information. So they've now released the information on a bunch. The owners declined to shut the site down. Now, they've taken the information from these people, their real names, their emails, photos, phone numbers, all this type of thing, what kind of, you know, hijinks they were looking for, and they have released it. And so now you have to ask yourself if Ashley Madison might be liable. I don't know. You know, you hack into somebody's site, but they could be sued by some of these people. But out of this release, they found tens of thousands of government email addresses of people in the government who were signing up for this service while, I don't know if it was on the job, but certainly through their work email, which seems a little bit reckless. Anyway, you've now got a draft Biden strategy that's being run by the top Obama strategist. Hillary Clinton has become so toxic, it's absolutely surreal. And the way that this has been handled, and I mean, really, no matter who you are, whether you're a Frankie who just loves Hillary Clinton, although he's willing to admit she may have done wrong, to the worst critic, you got to wonder about someone who, I mean, I'm just, you know, kind of like trying to think of what to compare this to. She created her own email account, her own email server. The thing that is so stunning about this, she makes this decision. Whose idea was it? I guess it doesn't matter. She signed off on it, but she had her emails, you know, her computer in her house somewhere, in her garage, whatever, her server. But then they hire this company who's a Democrat, who's run by a Democrat, big donor. He's in Colorado. He takes a house, basically it looked like a condo, and turned it into a business. And the main server for this website was in a bathroom closet. So if you want to talk about how safe these emails were from being hacked, I mean, that, it doesn't sound like there's any level of protection whatsoever. Anyway, here's something she said. If she wasn't such a good Girl Scout, none of this would have happened. Listen to this. Public Radio Iowa.
Is there another shoe to drop with the email fiasco?
No.
No, and look, I understand why people are confused about this. It's a very confusing issue. I think there are just a couple of things people need to know, which is that, you know, I did days of state had done. I was permitted to and used a personal email. And obviously, in retrospect, given all of the, you know, concerns that have been raised,
given all the things, all the concerns, she would have been better off not to. I'll finish that sentence for her. But that is, I mean, I just find this, I find this whole thing so fascinating that with all of the problems that the Clintons have had over the years and the claims of being chased by a right-wing conspiracy, she doesn't really have Bill to protect her anymore. And she makes this decision that, I mean, it would have been obvious that tens of thousands of people, whoever she interacted with, or at least thousands of people would have known that she had her own email account that she was doing government business on. And that she had never used a secure government server. How secure they are, of course, is open to debate, but it is surreal. I just find it so bizarre that she would take that kind of a risk. Anyway, let's take a little break here, and we'll come back. I've just got so many of these stories I wanted to play them for you, but I don't think there's enough time during a 24-hour period to really get into all of the stories on this. There's so many different angles. But the question is, 523-1450, is there going to be a new nominee for the Democrats? My guess is yes. My guess is going to be Biden, and he's a likable guy. You may not agree with his policies, and he's got to defend Obama, but he might be hard to beat. Who knows? We'll be right back. It's 633 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll be back.
Here are questions for every American. Why are we lifting the oil export ban from Iran while American oil is still banned from export? Why are we letting foreign regimes decide how much we pay for our gas and electricity? Why are we letting countries that are not our friends dictate our energy and economic markets? Lifting the export ban lets us take charge of our security and future. We have the oil. We have the means. It's time to act. Talk to your representative today or visit lifttheexportban.com.
I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two.
A moment, but first, a team from the U.S. intelligence community says it has flagged three. ...105 emails from Hillary Clinton's private server for further review because they could contain classified information. One day ago, that number was 60. That is roughly one out of every five emails reviewed so far by the State Department. At this pace, it could mean about 1,500 emails will be flagged. It hasn't been determined yet if any of the flagged emails actually contain classified information, and the State Department says it has seen no indication of negligence or wrongdoing. In an Iowa radio interview from the weekend, Clinton suggested the email controversy would not be public if she herself did not ask for the emails to be released.
I never sent nor received any classified email, nothing marked classified. And
all right, so 637, and a lot of the listeners of this show might be totally and quite naturally opposed to Hillary Clinton in any form, water, mineral, vegetable, animal, whatever the saying, animal, mineral, vegetable. Anyway, she's an animal. It's also a vegetable at this point, but you know, it is just, it's kind of fascinating. What would draw her into doing that? I mean, it's so obvious that 523-1450, if you have an opinion, it's just like something out of Shakespeare, like, you know, she's like just drawn to drama and chaos, and you know, like she's got a, what do you call it, a death wish. All right, so here's what she said, and I thought you might find this interesting. March 11, 2015, listen to her. Her voice, I don't know, it's just something so fake in her voice. 805-6180 to text in if you're too lazy to, like Mike or Frankie, to roll out of bed and hit the phone. But listen to this explanation that comes, let's see, March, April, May, June, July. All right, 6 months ago, listen to this explanation.
I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two. The vast majority of my work emails went to government employees at their government addresses, which meant they were captured and preserved immediately on the system at the State Department. We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department. I took the unprecedented step of asking that the State Department make all my work-related emails public for everyone to see. Going through the emails, there were over 60,000 in total sent and received. About half were work-related and went to the State Department, and about half were personal, that were not in any way related to my work. I had no reason to save them, but that was my decision because the federal guidelines are clear, and the State Department request was clear. For any government employee, it is that government employee's responsibility to determine what's personal and what's work-related. The laws and regulations in effect when I was Secretary of State allowed me to use my email for work. That is undisputed. Looking back, it would have been better for me to use two separate phones and two email accounts. I thought using one device would be simpler, and obviously it hasn't worked out that way.
Ha, ha, ha. So anyway, this is 6 months ago, and you've got to admit, Hillary Clinton is a bizarre person. The amount of suffering that she must have gone through with her husband cheating with thousands of women, some of which claimed, many of which claimed that he hit on them that when they didn't want his hands on them or whatever. A few of which said that he raped them, and she went on and defended him and even attacked the women and blamed it on, she blamed it on his childhood, his mom or whatever, stepdad. She went through a lot of suffering with that. One assumes that she had her eye on the prize, which was becoming president, and now it seems to be all for naught. But here is a little bit from Scarborough. Anybody who follows this for 10 seconds knows Hillary Clinton is lying. This is so painful to listen to because it's all avoidable.
Moment, but first, a team from the U.S. intelligence community says it has flagged 305 emails from Hillary Clinton's private server for further review because they could contain classified information. One day ago, that number was 60. That is roughly one out of every five emails reviewed so far by the State Department. At this case, it could mean about 1,500 emails will be flagged. It hasn't been determined yet if any of the flagged emails actually contain classified information, and the State Department says it has seen no indication of negligence or wrongdoing. In an Iowa radio interview from the weekend, Clinton suggested the email controversy would not be public if she herself did not ask for the emails to be released.
I never sent nor received any classified email, nothing marked classified. And I think this will all sort itself out. And in a way, it's kind of a interesting insight into how the government operates, because if I had not asked for my emails all to be made public, none of this would have been in the public arena. But I want people to know what we did. I'm proud of the 4 years that I was Secretary of State. So I know this is all just going to, you know, work itself out as we go forward.
Mika, and it's stunning that she would say that when absolutely none of that is true. Everybody that's followed it for more than 10 seconds knows that what she's saying is not true. And last night, Clinton called the investigations said it was about partisan politics. It's not about emails or servers. It's about politics. Really, is that what you're telling the IG of the Justice Department and the IG of the State Department and the IG of the intel agencies? It's breathtaking.
We have a lot of folks come on the show, including Eugene Robinson, who pushed back and said it is.
Well, I mean, this is a person who doesn't want her private life made public. That's something that was stated by another one of these commentators. But here's the question is, I mean, this is just the most, to me, it's the most amazing thing because it's so, it is just, why would she say that this has been done by my predecessors? Nobody created their own website and their own email system to do public business. And why would she say that she wanted her emails known when she deleted half of them to begin with? And then they asked her to bring the server in. And for the server, she brings in something that's been totally wiped. And so anyway, it seems like the noose is tightening on Hillary. And I think what has happened is the way that they handled this before, in part because I think that, you know, Bill Clinton is just a naturally more likable character, whether you agree with him or not on his policy, was a more likable. He's kind of a likable rogue. People don't like Hillary. They either love her or they hate her guts. But here's what she said about bringing in this wipe server. The FBI wants to see your hard drive. The implication is that they want to see what's on it. So she has it professionally wiped and then acts like she doesn't know what happened.
Yeah, that's why we turned it over.
You were the official attorney. Did you wipe the server?
What, like with a cloth or something? Well, no. I don't know how it works digitally at all. I do not have any. Ed, I know you want to make a point, and I can just repeat what I have said.
Like I said, I think she's done. I think it's just a matter of time that they're going to get somebody else in there. But it is absolutely astounding that her life works is kind of just lying in a shambles in front of her. Anyway, Kelly here. I do have RJ coming into the studio at 7 with Ben Ross, and I think he's coming today too. So we'll be right back. RJ, who just filed his lawsuit against the county. And I guess Lynn Ellens will find out about it by surfing the internet. But anyway, we'll be right back. All right, so now there's a new story up. Clinton says classified material was on server. There's a couple of other stories. Problems go beyond email. Her assistants, one of which is a Pakistani woman named Huma Abedin, who many people, I don't know what, how much evidence there was for this, but many people said that they were having an affair. And she's got an African-American assistant named Cheryl Mills. Kind of like the Mod Squad, I guess. But they say that these ladies have wiped their phones. So the phones that they used to stay in touch with Hillary Clinton have been wiped. A watchdog says two laws appear to have been broken. Allies are sweating. And I mean, look, if you're, and we have a phone call here, but if you're Obama, you don't want your legacy to go down in flames so that the next president could destroy everything. You've got to toss Hillary overboard and find somebody else, Joe Biden. That's my opinion. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's I, Kelly.
For those of you who don't listen every day, and usually there's a pack of dogs baying in the back, but this is Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Kelly, I was wondering, do you think Ms. Wiener?
Mike, you've already made this comment.
Well, I just wanted to say, do you think that she helped Hillary wipe her server?
You asked that question yesterday or the day before. I'm. Who knows? I mean, that's her little buddy, so I would assume that whatever she did Huma Abedin.
Her bosom buddy.
Don't let me interrupt you, Mike. What was that?
Her bosom buddy.
Mike, do you have a point today?
Well, I was going to say, do you think the government will investigate the government? Because it's like the 9/11 Commission. You know, I mean, the government doesn't investigate itself.
Mike, are you a truther?
Yes.
All right. So Mike believes that the government destroyed the Twin Towers.
I think it was the, you know, Kelly.
Or Mike, let's stick to the, Mike, let's not go on to the Twin Towers. Believe it or not, I don't want to talk about that. Let's.
How about Cain and Abel?
Mike, you're already plucking my last nerve, but I do congratulate you on taking the dogs outside or whatever happens.
They're sitting here. They're very attentive, and they're with me on this, Kelly.
Well, I hope your new teeth are working.
Well, I it was this one tooth that was knocked out.
How big was the dog that took you out on that one?
It's my second accident. Pretty big. They're Czechoslovakian German Shepherds,
huh.
And they're like 20% hybrid.
And 80%. What's the rest?
Czech.
Machine? Are they Android dogs? All right. So Mike, anyway. Your point about Hillary is ultimately whether the FBI has opened an investigation into this. So I think they're getting to the point where they're ready to sacrifice her. That's my opinion. You can't carry on a campaign like that.
I don't think the government or this country will investigate itself. It just doesn't work that way, you know.
All right, Mike.
The way of the world.
Thanks. I got to run. It's a run out of time. Thanks for the call. All right. There's one other story I wanted to get to. We're going to come back and, of course, talk to RJ about this lawsuit here. But I'll come back to it. Let's go to a break right now, and we'll be right back, and I've got one little clip for you. Kelly O'Connell, 653. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. All right, so we've just got a little bit of time left here, but you've got from the Wall Street Journal the statement that Hillary Clinton's campaign said Wednesday that emails on the private server she used when she was Secretary of State contained material that is now classified, the clearest explanation thus far of an issue that has roiled her bid for the presidency. But they say it's passive, nothing was titled, not her fault. Okay, Judicial Watchdog. Two national security laws appear broken in Clinton email scandal. Hillary Clinton and two aides appear to have violated two national security laws by sending classified information on a private email server. All right. Now, you've got here is a little statement. When the FBI got involved, all bets were off. Check this one out.
Trouble. It's her own doing.
Chuck, forget the first problem, which was, as you were saying, deciding to set up your own server outside the State Department.
That's why we're here.
Let's just go to last night where she's at a fundraiser and she says, oh, this is much ado about nothing. And she's doing Snapchat jokes while the FBI is expanding their investigation to now 305 emails and beyond, where all of us who report the news, who read the news, look at it and go, well, that's plainly not true. Just look at what she did last night. And she's digging herself in deeper in a hole by just destroying her credibility. Why is she doing it?
You know, this is the only explanation is it's how they've handled these situations for the last 25 years.
But she's fighting the New York Times, not Breitbart.
They believe they've been fighting the New York Times, by the way, for 50 okay, years.
All right. So she's destroying herself. And here is, and we've got another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, please, Mr. Board, don't get upset with me. I know you was doing something very important. And I'm trying, and the line was busy earlier.
Well, let me put you on hold, Deborah, you're not going to call up and take the show hostage at the last minute. All right, folks, I got this last couple of clips here. Just wait on the line there, Deborah. Check this out.
Oh, by the way, you may have seen that I recently launched a Snapchat account. I love it. I love it. Those messages disappear all by themselves.
Truly, truly bizarre. And here is, well, we don't really have time for this last clip, but anyway, Hillary Clinton is in a lot of trouble, and I don't think it's going to go away. She'll drop out. The question is, when will she drop out? She obviously doesn't care about what happens to her party, or she would have tried to take care of this earlier. And by the way, Deborah is calling in, I'm guessing, to try to get in contact with Patty Riley, who she believes she was a twin of in a previous life. So anyway, folks, it is 6:59. Kelly O'Connell, show you on Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We're going to come back and talk to RJ Hernandez about the lawsuit he just launched against the county. And I think Ben Rossin's coming in to keep your seats buckled. We'll be right back. Deborah.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I had this noisy swamp and everything.
I can't hear you.
Yes. Okay, I'm under the swamp.
Yeah, take me off speaker.
Yeah, what are your problems? Is something you need me to say?
I can't hear you. Talking to the phone.
Okay, I am. Can you hear me now?
A little better.
Oh, okay. Yes, I'm so sorry if I disturbed when I called this morning. And you said you had a lot of problems. What do you need me to pray about? And I need to get hold of Patty.
I announced that on the air.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I announced that you were twins in a previous life.
And you know we don't believe in reincarnation.
Well, I mean, you could be Native American.
Oh, yeah, I do have Cherokee, yeah, with the Irish and the German and a little bit of everything else. Okay, because I don't want to give my phone number, and I'm not good at texting because my physical problems, you know, with every Patty with her last name and stuff. I just don't know what she looks like.
Well, I don't think you're going to run into her walking around the city, so we'll have to figure out a way to hook you guys up.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You'll be like Batman and Robin or Thelma and Louise.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoy hearing her on the radio. When I mean, I don't get to listen every day now, but, okay, so you announced it. So how's this going to happen?
Why can't
I just give you my phone number, and then she can call you and give me hers?
I think I've got your phone number if you haven't changed it.
No, I haven't changed it.
All right, but
can
we need
to call you.
Hey, we need to wait on hold. I want you to announce to the city that you enjoy Patty's calls and you need to get together with her.
Okay.
All right. Put you on hold.
Thank you.
Do you have any pets in your lap?
I have any pets in my lap?
Under your arm or anything?
No. I would love to have a pet, but you know, half the time I can't take care of my own self. So we'll
gotcha.
Be sure to eat.
Gotcha. We'll I'll be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 7:06. It's 70 degrees outside. It's going to be a high of 99. It's going to be a low of 68. And so hopefully it'll rain a little bit. We've got a call from Deborah. And Deborah, you're looking to reconnect with your long lost twin from a last life, Patty Riley?
Well, that's what you say. Now, I thought maybe it would be a couple of bulldogs.
We can barely hear you. You sound like Peter Frampton in his vocoder. So how can Patty Riley get a hold of you?
Okay, what'd you say?
How can Patty get a hold of you?
Well,
briefly,
I try to find her on Facebook. If I give you my phone number, and then Patty can call and get it, because I don't want everybody to have my phone number.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. All right, so thanks for the call, and I'll make sure if she calls in. I think she's put herself on administrative leave, but after her last flame out.
I'm sure she's still listening.
Oh, I'm sure. Everybody loves Patty. Thanks a lot, Deborah. Take care. All right, here we go. We got Ben Rossin here, and we're going to have RJ in the studio in a few minutes. Good morning, Ben Rossin.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you today?
Good. How are the crumb catchers, the youngins?
Oh, they're doing well. Kelly, you know, actually, I just got two of my kids out riding bikes, and they're off the training wheels this summer, I guess. It's been a little bit. So it's been fun having them grow up and being a part. It's terrific. Kids are wonderful.
Got to get them in the shop and start working.
Well, you know, I've got two of them that come in occasionally and help me out in the warehouse, and that's fun to work with them, absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you really enjoy the family. It's, you know, I mean, it used to be the main entertainment, I think, in America was interacting with your family.
You know, Kelly, there's kids are great, and they say a lot of fun, funny things, and it just provides a lot of entertainment in our life, but it's an important aspect of providing a good example for them, teaching them, and preparing them to be the leaders of the next leaders.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what's going on in the city, or the county, pardon me?
Well, that's all right. Of course, Kelly, the city is in the county, so we'll claim that anyway. My counterparts over on the city council don't always agree with me quite as much there. But no, the county commission, we do oversee the entire county, including the municipalities that are in it. Probably the biggest thing that I want to talk about, Kelly, well, let me touch real quick on Tuesday's county commission agenda. We've got our regular county commission agenda coming up this Tuesday. If anyone's interested in the items, you can view that agenda on the DonianaCounty.org website, or you can follow me on my Facebook page, and I post it there so that people can see what's going on. Probably the most controversial item on there is the comprehensive plan. Several people have contacted me about that in the past, and so that plan is coming up for a vote on Tuesday. Anyone who's interested in that needs to participate.
What are the most notable parts of the comprehensive plan, in your opinion?
Well, Kelly, this is the plan that will guide county growth for the next 25 years, and there's a few things that are significant about changes that it makes to current plan. The ETZ, for example, the buffer around the city around the city of Las Cruces, that goes away with this plan. There's several other things in there, and if anyone's interested, they can always get a hold of me. My cell phone number, Kelly, is 649-4153, or you can reach me on my email at brossin@donianacounty.org. But the other thing I really wanted to focus the Rossin Report on this morning, Kelly, is the recession that's continuing here in Doniana County. Kelly, what a lot of people don't realize is that we have fewer people employed today than we did in 2007 here in
Doniana
County.
Stunning.
It is.
Even though the population has doubled?
Yeah. Even though if you listen to Commissioner Hancock, the population has doubled since then. We have fewer people employed in Doniana County than we did in 2007.
What's the explanation?
Kelly, I think it's a no-growth commitment that we're seeing from the county commission and from the Las Cruces City Council, an anti-growth mentality, an anti-business mentality that's chasing people out of this area.
So by not growing, what do they hope to gain?
Kelly, that's a great question.
I'm trying to think of what religion would smile at no growth.
The challenge is, Kelly, I've got four kids, as we were just talking about, and I want them to have somewhere to grow up, to find jobs, to stay close to home. Two of my brothers have had to leave town to get work. And that's the same thing that you can talk with anybody around town, around the county, and you hear that same story over and over and over, where people have had to leave to find work to be able to provide for their family. That's not encouraging. The NMSU just put out their August business outlook. And in there, they stated that jobs have declined 0.6% in the last 12 months. So we're still continuing the downward trend on jobs in Doniana County. And we've got to put a stop to that. We've got to encourage business growth. We've got to encourage people to locate here, to locate their businesses here, and be an active part of helping them be successful instead of having the focus of trying to drive them off.
Do you have any doubt that these people that are involved with this running the government are against growth?
No, I have no doubt. All you have to do is take a look at their votes, and it's very clear. You know, Kelly, I'm trying to think. The Las Cruces Chamber of Commerce puts out a scoring of the different city councilors and county commissioners. And if you look on the county commission, On the last scoring that they put out, the highest individual outside of myself received a 33% rating. So we had the very highest person was a third business friendly, and that's it. Kelly, I've got 100% on their rating, and I hope to continue that, because what I'm looking for are things to help Doñana County grow and be successful.
Mr. Chair, I find it interesting that...
I feel like when you hear things like this, and I've got a little clip from the meeting that someone kindly sent me.
Mr. Chair, I find it interesting that we want to go back into history and count percentages of increase of cost of providing services to the public. But we leave out how much the county has grown since 2007. We've doubled in population. Have we doubled?
No.
Okay. What has it gone up to? It's gone up significantly higher than the percentage of the increase.
No.
This is a statement. This is a commitment. These folks will not, you can leave, but please do not comment unless you're invited to comment.
That's one of the most pathetic things that I've ever heard, because people are not being rude. They're just saying, no, that's not true. And Golden Earring takes a exception to it. By the way, I invited onto the show Commissioner Garrett and Chief Commissioner, whatever his title is, to come on the show. He said what we're talking about it. So hopefully I'll get him on here. But anyway, I think it's pathetic to hear someone make a mistake that is so profound and then hear people told you're not allowed to correct it. I mean, it makes you almost feel sick.
It is, Kelly. And you know, the funny thing, you couldn't hear the audience there. They were absolutely, everybody was shouting. Several people left. You know, as Commissioner Hancock says, this is not a poll. This is a statement. And somebody from the audience yelled, no, this is an embarrassment. And that's exactly what it is, Kelly. And there's been no retraction from Commissioner Hancock.
Let me ask you this. What is your reaction to people that are not just mistaken in their philosophy, but fact blind? They're factually mistaken. They're on record saying things that are so far out of reality that it's stunning. And that is the basis of their public policy. They've got power over other people. They're making decisions, and it's affecting other people's lives. And nobody, as you heard the commissioner say, the head commissioner, no one's allowed to disagree.
Yeah, Kelly, it is very much a sad situation there. It's a scary situation when you have someone who has absolutely no understanding of Doñana County, no understanding of the demographics of Doñana County.
He's not from here. He moved from Florida. He was here for 2 months. He put his name in the race and he won. Do we not have any more? How does that happen?
Kelly, that happens because of the Progressive Voter Alliance, and they have a strong group. And so they put their backing behind him to get him in there. And we need listeners. Wayne Hancock's not running for reelection next year. He's already announced he's leaving the community. He's moving to Florida. In business, we call it a going concern, where you're always looking for the future of a organization. And Commissioner Hancock has no going concern for the community at all. But that being said, we need a good person to step up and take his place. And so I hope those of you that are listening, you would need to file early next year. So you need to be thinking about running now. And I'd be happy to talk to anyone about that. But Kelly, when somebody thinks that the county population has doubled since 2007, and that's the basis that they're making decisions in, they're never going to make good decisions because they're so far removed from reality. What is reality? Kelly, I had NMSU do a study for us, and they're going to be doing a presentation at a future county commission meeting. But the population from 2007 has increased by 7.8%. 7.8%, not 100%, like you just heard Commissioner Hancock
argued. Well, the
thing
is that when he said that, when we had played the clip before, I Googled it and found out that the population was 198,000 in 2007, and now it's whatever, it's 2010 or whatever. But, I mean, I was able to find out that information instantaneously, and Hancock is making public policy for the city based on information that is with Google out there now. You can find it out instantly. It is so frustrating.
Kelly, try sitting on the commission with him. You're absolutely right. It's very, very frustrating. The challenge is we need to be focused on what the reality is. And the reality is, since 2007, Kelly, we have fewer people employed here in Doñana County. The reality is that in the last 12 months, jobs have declined here in Doñana County by 0.6%. Those are the action items that this commission needs to tackle and make a business-friendly environment so that there are jobs for people so they can get back to work and provide for the economy.
When I look across the city and I see all the empty buildings, I think of the people that own those buildings and how they're having to go into their savings to pay mortgages. I mean, it just, somebody told you if Wayne Hancock or Billy Garrett said that we haven't hurt business. Well, let me get your answer to that in just a second. We have a call here. I'm going to ask you what your response would be if they said we're
Sounds
business
great.
Friendly. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, this is Tom. Why don't you run for Hancock's position? I'll vote for you.
Oh, I got one vote there.
There you go. You live in the right district,
Kelly. I know Doug Boyle will vote for you, too, and Mike.
You know, Tom, that sounds like you live in that district. Have you thought about running yourself?
No, sir. No, I haven't. I'm not that savvy.
Well, you just heard what Commissioner Hancock was touting, so you don't have to be. The bar is set pretty low.
Savvy has got nothing to do with it, apparently.
Apparently, I called Hancock when they were going to do that raise, when they were going to raise our taxes, and he just told me this is the way we're going to do things. He didn't want to hear us. I said, then I'm not going to support you next time. He goes, pretty much I'm out of here. You know, the rotten son of a gun.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Folks, we'll take a little break and come back, and I'm going to ask this one question of Ben Rawson before he leaves. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, and we're going to ask Ben what his response, his interaction would be with these two commissioners, one of which really seems like he's around the bend. He's like Mr. Magoo or something. Driving down the road, and he's actually up on the telephone lines, but we'll be right back.
Going down to the graveyard, I gotta see my baby, gotta see my baby just one more time.
I mean, you can see his face.
I'm going to ask Ben what his response would be if he had a discussion over the state of the business and whether it can be improved. But here, let's listen to Wayne Hancock again.
Mr. Chair, I find it interesting that we want to go back into history and count percentages of increase of cost of providing services to the public. But we leave out how much the county has grown since 2007. We've doubled in population. Have we doubled?
No.
Okay. What has it gone up to? It's gone up significantly higher than the percentage of the increase of the budget.
No.
This is not.
This is not a poll.
This is a statement.
This is a statement.
It's a factually incorrect statement. Is there a dunce cap that's available in the county commission chambers?
He certainly needed it.
I mean, does he always make factual? I mean, he's not from here, so I understand we give him a mulligan on that. But isn't that one reason you want people who are elected to office to run your city to be from here, or at least have some information about the community?
And Kelly, care enough to listen to, or to learn and find out. certainly I know people that have moved here that have done a good job in government, but those people care about the community, and that's the piece that's missing here. But before I get too far off on that, let's go back to the anti-business environment.
Yeah.
You know, of course, this was made in response to a statement that I made about the increase in the size of, so the budget increased by 58% since 2007. We went from spending $95 million to spending $149 million. That's not a sustainable rate of growth. And that was my argument, and I stand by that argument, because we cannot support a county growth of that rate when we have a population change of 7.8%. It's simply not sustainable. That governmental increase is anti-business. Because that's what those people are. You cannot have a flourishing economy when you have a government that's growing so large to oversee everything and control everything. That's part of the difference there between a business where we can have businesses encouraged and growing. So that's one, is the county growth rate has to be decreased. It has to be slowed down. It has to be put in proportion to the population. Another thing, Kelly, is what Tom said when he called in. Tom's absolutely right. We had the largest tax increase in the history of Doñana County. I want your listeners to think about that, Kelly. We've been a county for over 100 years. Never before in over 100 years has there been a tax increase of 0.3%.
Do people care about that?
Businesses care about it. People should care about it because that's what they're spending.
What's your cell phone again?
My cell phone is 649-4153, and I'd love to hear from anybody.
Do we need some new blood on the commission?
Desperately.
What would be a good profile of a person to run, in your opinion?
Kelly, a good person would be somebody who's interested in good government, in how to run a government. We need people that understand business and understand Doñana County. It would be very beneficial if we had someone that understood ag. Right now, I mean, we're an ag county, but yeah. There is no one on the county commission that has an ag background.
But if agriculture comes up, does Billy Garrett ever use the model of the spotted owl to explain agriculture? Because I believe he worked in the forestry department.
He did, and we've had several debates over endangered species and other things like that.
Is it true that he goes around with a White Sands horny toad on his shoulder?
Well, I haven't seen that, but maybe it blends in, Kelly.
Could blend in with his hair. So anyway, are you calling out and asking for some people to take a risk and maybe do something very exciting like run for office?
I am, Kelly. We've got 3 county commission seats that'll be up for election next year. 2 of those are open seats where the incumbent is not running. That's Leticia Benavides' district, which is basically Mayfield High School all the way up to the north boundary at Hatch and Garfield area.
That would be a great place to have an ag person.
And then we also have on the east side of I-25, all of Highway 70, all of Sonoma Ranch, that's Wayne Hancock's, and we need somebody good there too. But Kelly, there's one other thing that I want to point out as proof of the anti-business government that we have right now in Doñana County. If you look to the 4 surrounding counties, north, south, east, and west, all of those counties are seeing economic growth right now, all 4 of them. But here in Doñana County, we're not. In fact, our gross receipts that the county has received is down 0.9% compared to last year. So we've got fewer people employed. We have fewer people spending money here. And yet the county commission thinks it's on the right track, and it's not.
Well, I mean, so you look at Detroit and you see a city that used to be the number one tech city in the world is in ruins. And they've had pure Democratic leadership or liberal leadership for the last 60 years. That it's just not working out here.
We need to get a change on the county commission, and I'm looking forward to next year and hopefully serving with some of your other listeners, Kelly.
Thanks for coming on, Ben.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, folks, we're going to take a break here and come back and talk to J.R. Hernandez, who's just filed a lawsuit against our county. And we'll be right back to get into this. I'll read you the introduction. It is a little bit jaw-dropping. Kelly O'Connell, 7:30. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180, 805-6180. We'll get into your text at some point, too.
Going down to the graveyard, gonna see my baby, gonna see my baby.
Kelly here, and as I promised, I've got RJ, who I occasionally call JR because it reminds me of Dallas and all of the intrigue there, but RJ Hernandez, he's got a lawsuit that's just been filed by Hans Voss, who's a friend of mine, who's now living up in Santa Fe. So we're going to get Hans on here. I'm just going to read you the introduction, and RJ can embellish on the rest of it. In 2008, Doña Ana County was sued by the U.S. Department of Justice. The lawsuit put Doña Ana on it. Notice that it is illegal to foster a culture of cronyism where well-liked people and powerful people are protected from and shielded against complaints of wrongdoing by means of harassment, retaliation, and creation of a hostile work environment that adversely affects the terms, conditions, and privileges of a complainant's employment. A complainant is a person who puts in a suit like this. As part of the settlement of this lawsuit, administration of complaints in Doña Ana County was moved from human resources to the county attorney's office. The county attorney is now being run, by the way, by Mr. Gooden, Nelson Gooden, who is an independent thinker. So this is going to positively affect us. In 2011, a Doña Ana County employee filed a lawsuit pointing out that the Doña Ana County continues to foster a culture of cronyism, wherein well-liked people and powerful people are protected from and shielded against complaints of wrongdoing by means of harassment, retaliation, and creation of a hostile work environment that adversely affects the terms, conditions, and privileges of a complainant's employment. The lawsuit pointed out that the Doña Ana County attorney engaged in exactly these illegal activities when a Doña Ana County EEOC investigator found that a well-liked person in Doña Ana County government was creating a racially hostile work environment. A Doña Ana County jury agreed, and on July 16, 2015, made a $1.2 million award against Doña Ana County. And that, by the way, that person is not Nelson Gooden. He just started his job. In 2015, Mr. Hernandez was subjected to cronyism, harassment, retaliation, creation of a hostile work environment, and outrageous conduct that adversely affects the terms, conditions, and privileges of his employment at the Doña Ana County Clerk's Office. Through this lawsuit, Mr. Hernandez will present sufficient evidence to justify a jury finding that 8 years after the lawsuit filed by the U.S. Department of Justice, and in spite of changes made to the way that Doña Ana County handles personal issues, Doña Ana County government continues to foster this culture of cronyism, harassment, retaliation, and creation of a hostile work environment that adversely affects the terms, conditions, and privileges of a complainant's employment. He will ask a jury to find that, and continuing to do so, Doña Ana County government is guilty of outrageous conduct. Good morning.
Good morning.
RJ/JR, what's up?
Good morning. We got our suit off the ground, and you know, I didn't want it to come to this point. I merely asked Mr. Kraling for a written apology.
You mean if Mr. Kraling had just apologized, Mr. Crayfish had just apologized, it wouldn't have come to a lawsuit?
It wouldn't have come to a lawsuit.
It makes me wonder how many times in history not being polite has led to a lawsuit. So, all right. Now, when you were given, you were introduced to downtown Julia Brown the day that she terminated you, I suspected this might come to this conclusion, and that's why I contacted you. For one reason, I wanted to hear your side of the story, but also it seemed so likely that this was tied into your whistleblowing.
Well, the timing is kind of bad. They had, since I wrote up my first EEO complaint against Mr. Kraling, it was 2 months prior to the whistleblowing. All the evidence from the whistleblowing came due to the retaliation, and I wasn't able to access anything, so I had to go to other people to access, and I started noticing all this extra activity done by different employees, which was the notarizing of documents. These weren't the first documents that were notarized without anybody being there. I saw all this activity going on, and then when I was finally approached by Maria Cisneros for part of the check cashing, I didn't know how up the chain it went. I don't know. I didn't know if Lynn Ellens was involved. I didn't know Scott Crayling was involved.
Do you know if Lynn Ellens DeGeneres or Scott Crayfish were involved in that, or do you think they were just blissfully unaware?
We will never know, because the look at their attitude after the fact. Why are they so angry? I'm kind of wondering if I dipped into their pockets, you know.
Holy cow. But you're not making a claim. You're just saying, what if?
Right. It's not a claim of saying that they were involved. The thing is why are they so angry? I mean, if I was the county clerk and somebody had brought up, hey, somebody was tampering with my voter rolls, I'd be glad that it was brought to my attention.
Of course. I think, though, Lynn Ellens may have, you know, after he got gay marriage in here, he may have seen that as the peak of his career and kind of retired within the county clerk's office, right? When you said that he went in there, he would kind of go to his lazy boy and pull out a tablet and start surfing the internet, right?
That's all he did. You know, that's mostly what he did.
Did anybody ever come in and massage his feet or bring him a Mai Tai?
No, I think we kind of stopped that before it happened.
Well, that's good to hear. We're talking to RJ Hernandez. He's just filed a lawsuit against the city in part because Scott Crayfish refused to apologize for terminating him for what looked like retaliation for whistleblowing. Those poor whistleblowers always take it in the shorts. Kelly O'Connell, 741 Roy Buchanan. I've been playing him today. A little bit of blues guitar, the greatest unknown blues guitarman. And we're going to come back at Sam Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. We'll be right back. It's 744. It is 70 degrees outside, going to be 99 high today, a low of 68. It's getting hopefully a little cooler. Let's get some more rain here, folks. Let's pray for rain. All right. So when Scott Crawdaddy found out that you were going to be running for the seat that he aspired to, the county clerk, what did he do?
Oh, he came out with a comment saying, I've done elections for 20 years, and then after making the announcement that I was considering running on the Republican ticket, his comment was how the office was highly criticized because of my presence in the office.
How so?
He wouldn't go into detail. And then the following day he comes in and apologizes, says, you know, tells me this sob story that he had about how he wanted to walk in the same footstep as his father. And
is his father Lynn Ellens DeGeneres?
Close to it.
That's touching. All right. So you said that you were targeted in the county clerk's office in retaliation for the public embarrassment caused to county clerk Lynn Ellens, associated with Mr. Hernandez's constitutionally protected action of speaking out about criminal activity. All right. So you caused these guys embarrassment. You tipped over the apple cart. You stirred the pot. You opened. You got the swarm of hornets coming, you a can of whoop butt.
Correct.
All right.
You know, this whole thing with Lynn being so angry over this whole thing and Scott supporting him.
Did he throw his denture grip at you?
No, he would have stuck that way. Everything's been bouncing off. Lynn's attitude towards this whole thing has been pretty sad. It's an embarrassing to the county. You know, he's become a large embarrassment to the county. I mean, people's identities are being stolen. I don't know if it's because it was Hispanics there were Hispanic names being targeted.
Nobody cares because it's Hispanics. This is it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It is, you know. The thing is there's no apology coming from his office. His whole idea and Scott's whole idea is, hey, our hands are clean, you know, and they're not. You run that office. You're responsible for what happens in that office.
Right. Is Scott Crayfish going to be running for the county clerk?
He is. I mean, he's going to run for some office. Scott Crayling is a politician. That's why his comments in today's Sun News with, you know, people that know him, you know, people that know him would know the kind of person that he truly is. He's a politician that likes to go out and shake hands and tell them, look at how much I shine, and that's about it.
All right. So here it is. Told about the lawsuit Wednesday, and Crayfish said that throughout his career in public office, he strived to promote fairness and opposes retaliation and discrimination, something that people who know him are aware of. Quote, it's just not part of my nature, he said. I believe too passionately in equality and treating people fairly to do something like that. So I hope that the public will withhold judgment until our day in court when all the facts are on the table, continued Scott Crayfish, and at the time things will be much clearer.
You know, I would kind of hope that at the end of this lawsuit, no matter what's awarded or because we're very confident with this lawsuit and whatever the outcome may be, that he'll come out and when it's shown that he was discriminatory, and I hope that it comes that he's man enough to stand there and say, hey, you know, I apologize now, but it'll be at the taxpayers' expense.
My response to Scott Crayfish's statement.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Heavens to Murgatroyd.
All right, folks, let's take a little break here. Kelly O'Connell, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. And we'll be right back. Hang in there. 805-6180 to text. I'll read your text when I come back.
You know, she's done sold her soul to the devil. Yeah, and I'm just about, I think I might even lose my mind.
It's 7:51. Kelly here, and I'm with J.R. R.J. Hernandez, also known as J.R., to his close friends. Anyway, you filed this lawsuit. How do you feel?
That this lawsuit's going to move forward. I think that it'll be a win for us. I think the county's going to be slapped again for their actions.
The question is, when will they ever learn?
That's true. I mean, we see it repeated. There's not only my lawsuit that's coming forward to them, there's several other of them that are coming forward, and you know, it's they'll be facing lawsuit after lawsuit, and
terrible
it is.
Lynn Ellen DeGeneres, you can come on the show and tell your side if you want. Scott Crawdaddy, you can come on too, since you guys are kind of Batman and Robin. All right, so there's also part of this complaint that said that you were defamed when they claimed that you were not fired because of this whistleblowing, but because of other serious issues unrelated to whistleblowing.
Right. Well, if the county has a policy of not talking about personnel matters, Julia Brown made a comment, and she ended her comment, Lynn Ellen's, by adding on serious issues. Well, people are waiting for him to say these serious issues. And in the meantime, it's hurting my ability to regain employment. It's hurting my ability to, or it's hurting my campaign, or gaining the support. Everybody's waiting to see what these serious issues Lynn Ellens is talking about.
Well, I mean, you know, this is what I have to say to Lynn Ellens.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
You guys need to get your acts together down there. Come on now. We're sick of these lawsuits. All right, I've got some texts here. This is from the whole day. Hillary started out fresh out of law school, helping to bring Nixon down. It would be just karma if she were brought down by the exact same thing. Is it Congress which can remove Hillary from the race? Investigation for espionage is too serious a charge for her to be traveling around. Here's another one. Letter. Obama administration releasing violent illegal immigrants back into the U.S. towns. Washington Free Beacon. Look that up, folks. And here's another one. Well, all right. Hold on a second. That one's hard to parse there. The tax increase pays for the lawsuit's payout, right? The taxpayers get punished by official crises. All right. So we have RJ Hernandez. RJ, thanks for coming on again today. I know that I'm the only media outlet that you're really kind of talking to, although you were interviewed for the paper. But any concluding thoughts that you want to leave with people?
I just think in the 2016 election, I support what Ben Rossin's doing. We really need to get people on into these offices that are going to support the people, the businesses, and so forth.
And you're going to be running against Scott Crayfish for this county clerk's position?
Yes, we'll be seeking to take the clerk's office.
Hopefully you'll have your settlement at that point so you can invest it in advertising, et cetera.
Yes.
You got to come back here when you announce for your campaign.
We will.
All right. We're going to get Hans Voss on here, too, who's a friend of mine. All right. So there is just a few more stories that I want to, and we do have a phone call here. There's a few more stories I want to mention, but thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
You know what? You ought to take a week break, get somebody else to host the show. So we can talk about the judges since you won't talk about them.
Well, I mean, I can't. There's a part of the canon ethics. Well, anybody, Bill, anybody can call up and say something about a judge. I just can't really. But, I mean, if you have something to say about a judge, feel free.
Well, the thing is that, I've tried several times and you just cut people off.
Well, I mean, look, there's a
down the line, they're going to have recourse against you or something. And that's not what judges are supposed to do. They're supposed to be fair all the time. You should be able to say whatever you feel like as an attorney, as a private citizen, and you're just afraid of them.
Well, I mean,
that's what I think.
Well, Bill.
So I think you have to take a vacation.
Okay, I'll take a vacation. Based on your prescription. Are you still
great,
there?
Great. Next week will be good.
Where are we going to go? Thanks for the call, Bill. All right, here's the thing. I mean, number one, there is something in the canon for lawyers. You can't criticize a judge, although there's a free speech right to do that. Number one. Number two, I'm representing people in front of these judges. Number three, I mean, I don't really have a beef with a lot of these judges. I mean, I think that being a judge is like the hardest thing there is. Because you got to know every element of the law, and I don't know, it's just a tough job, and I don't want to come across like I'm upset with the judiciary and I'm banging a drum or anything. But anyway, if you have a statement to say about a judge, this is the only free speech venue in this county, so feel free to call up and I'll listen. All right, I want and everybody else to listen to. There's something that I want to mention to you. There's a statement that has come out. Mexican cartels in Arizona are running the Arizona desert 70 miles inside the border. And this is not from Sheriff Joe. This is from the sheriff that is out of Tucson. And it's really chaotic. Now, Ben Carson was given a tour of this. He couldn't believe these encampments that they could see from the air where the cartels have built up places to stop and everything. And Carson said, if we had 6,000 military on the border, we can stop all these people from coming in. But, I mean, why wouldn't we do that? There's this recurring theme that Obama makes decisions or fails to make them that bring harm to America.
What's up with these things, Victor?
We decided to give ourselves stickers for free speech to re-release.
But here's the thing that's
suggestions a week to create.
We've got to do something about the border, and now there's 400,000 children being born to illegals every year. And Sheriff Babu of Tucson, he sounds like a character off of a cartoon, Sheriff Babu. All right, so we'll take you out here. thanks for calling in, or listening in today. Thanks for calling in if you called. And hope you have a great day. We want to thank RJ and Ben Rawson for coming on today. Have a wonderful day, and we'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.
The train is always going. It always leaves exactly 3:09.